You're listening to the Circle and Rectangle Show, Australia's newest A-League and W-League based footballing podcast, hosted by two blokes with exceptional footballing knowledge, mediocre footballing ability, and zero podcasting experience.
So, the CNR bump, it's a real thing. It actually happened.
Supposedly, it's a real thing. Like, we were just mucking around about how it's a real thing, but it's a real thing.
Shout out Connor O'Toole for making it into reality with an amazing strike. Didn't get the win, but, you know, can't do everything.
No, he can't carry that entire organisation on his back, but he can carry us. So thank you, Connor O'Toole. And I might say earlier as well, massive shout out. Thank you to Newcastle Jets. Like, you guys went above and beyond what we were expecting by promoting us on your Instagram and on your website as well. So I really appreciate that. So thank you to the Newcastle Jets organisation. Doing some big things.
Oh, yeah, amazing support from them. And also, you know, to go with the bump, McArthur finally gave Michael Roos his chance. And, man, he looked good. He looked strong, physical, almost scored. The bump's real. You want your players to play well, bring them on the show. Looking at you, Western Sydney Wanderers W League.
You leave the Wanderers out of this.
Well, still waiting to hear back.
That's all right. We're waiting to hear back from a lot of people.
Yeah.
Including Melbourne City. Read our emails.
Well, actually, accept our emails. That would be nice.
That was fun. No, so, yeah, so the fun part was I was at a function Friday night, and then Jamie just messages me out of nowhere. Connor O'Toole scored. The fucking bump is real. Going off his nut.
Yep.
And then sends through all the stuff about what the Newcastle Jets do. I'm sitting at a table, and then across from me is McArthur FC captain Mark Milligan. And he just looks at me, and I'm looking down, I'm looking up, smiling, looking down, cheering. Everyone's looking at me like I'm an idiot. They're right, I am an idiot, but worth it.
I mean, just a little message for McArthur. You know, look what the Jets did to help us, you know. I'm a fan of McArthur. I like their jerseys. I like the way they play. But, you know, the Jets have hooked us up massively. Connor, what a legend. He also retweeted it earlier on this week again. So, shout out Connor O'Toole. Absolute legend of a person and a player. So, yeah, McArthur, looking at you, man. Although, we are still in the talks to possibly get another McArthur player on the show.
Ooh.
So,
We're in talks with everyone. But also congratulations, Connor O'Toole. Contract extension, well deserved. So, yeah, Newcastle Jets looking for the future.
Yeah, 2 years. Got to say, also maybe part of the bump. Who knows? Can't confirm, can't deny.
Can neither confirm nor deny what we do.
But definitely deserved it. So, shout out, Connor. Thanks for coming on last week. But, you sort of mentioned what you did at your little dinner with the McArthur people. Who else was there of note?
Of note, surely Darcy Lowndes, president of the McArthur Football Association, and deputy mayor of Campbelltown. Let's not forget that, deputy mayor of Campbelltown. McArthur FC chairman was also there. So that was fun. Same with Josh Webster. Finally got to meet the man in person and thanked him personally as well. And he really grateful and always ready to hook us up whenever we are looking for someone. But that was a fun night. That was a fun night launching the local McArthur highest division, the M-League, both men's and women's, and where I'm a part of the under-21s competition. No, it was a good night. Really good night. I did my best to throw my entire team under the bus, so it's really good.
And, you know, networking. You know,
networking, yes.
That's what it was. That was not just about promoting the local league there, but networking for the show. So that was awesome, especially when you messaged me saying that Josh was... Yeah, he said, anytime you need some help, just reach out. So that was cool. Josh is a... good friend of the show, I'm calling him, Josh Webster. So
good friend of the show.
Good friend of the show. So for me, I went to an NPL game this weekend. The local team, the Sutherland Sharks, SSFC, took on Marconi with a host of A-League players in there. Mitch Malia, Patrick O'Shea, Anthony Bizanis, Marko Jesic of Newcastle Jets fame. Really good player. Had a really good game. Looked a little bit like an NRL referee, Gavin Badger, for those who know, but... very similar beard, but it was a good day out. I was part of the active support, which was fun. 1-0 draw. Southo missing a penalty right at the end to win the game, which was really disappointing because it was right in front of us. But it was good to get out to an NPL game. It was a packed house. The grandstand was full. The beers were flowing. Heading back out there again this week. Probably catch two games. Going to head to Fraser Park as well. But encouraging everyone who listens, go out and support your local NPL team because it's a good day out. It's relatively cheap. There's some good football on show. You'll see some ex-A-League players and maybe even the future A-League players. So go out there and support your local club.
Yeah, correct. I think I'll be probably heading out to a local game this weekend as well once our other adventures are finished. Really, really upset I didn't end up making it down to Wollongong over the weekend for the doubleheader. But Wellington Phoenix in that red kit, oh boy, did that do some things.
man, it looks good. I've already pre-ordered mine with number 7 Piscopo on the back. So
good shout, good shout.
I'm excited for that. But yeah, it looked like a good day out. I wanted to go as well, but work commitments kind of threw me away. But yeah, good crowd for the Wollongong game, really good crowd for the Wellington game, and just two pretty entertaining games. Wollongong snatching a draw right at the end, and Wellington just a dominant display over an otherwise really good Perth team, which was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, absolutely there. And see Wollongong, just get behind them. Get behind them. It does good things, and you guys can prove that you guys deserve an A-League team, and hopefully down the line in the future, you guys will get one. Because I enjoyed my one trip down to Wollongong in Wynn Stadium. I thought it was a great venue to watch football.
Oh, yeah.
And looking forward to what this competition can do in the future with the growth. Tasmania also looking at trying to get a team with the Western United. I think we previously mentioned Western United taking a few games down to Tasmania.
Yep.
Just get behind them. If you guys want a team, show you can support a team.
Yeah, don't whinge about it. Get behind them, pack the stadium, and show, hey, if we get our own team, this is what we'll do every week.
Correct.
Starting to see it with Wollongong. They're starting to get behind the Phoenix, the Wollongong Phoenix, as they were referred to many times on the weekend. But yeah, get behind the team. If they come into your area and you really want a team, especially Tasmania, to be the first other than cricket professional sports team in Australia, push for it. Like, support Western United. Don't complain about it. Support them. They wear the green of Tasmania. Get behind them.
Yeah, very much so. So, should we jump into it, Jamie?
We should, and we're going to mix it up this week in honour of International Women's Day, which was the other day, and Football New South Wales Women's Football Week. I figured we'd start with the W League, and there were some pretty good games and some pretty good goals and a huge milestone for one player in particular we've mentioned before on the show. But
she finally comes around. Finally comes around.
Finally, and the relief was evident on her face when she scored. So
the results are in.
We'll get into it with the first game, which saw Melbourne Victory defeat Western Sydney Wanderers 1-0 with a goal to Luongo. Victory are just coming into form. They started the season a little slow, but they're really pushing hard for that finals berth now, which hurts a team that's actually playing really good as well, Canberra United, behind them, because both of them are vying for that last spot, and Victory just keep playing good, so it's going to be hard to catch them.
Yep, no, correct. Victory really looking forward to jumping up that ladder into a playoff spot, and good form behind them as well. So that was a good victory for them over the weekend.
And Wanderers, you know, had a pretty good win over Melbourne City, who, even though they haven't played good, are a good team. And you know, to get stumped by Victory this week was probably a bit of a shock for the girls from out west. But moving on to the next game, Adelaide United 2 beating top of the table Sydney FC 0. I'm starting to see signs in this Sydney FC team. It was the Brisbane game a couple of weeks ago. Adelaide now, they're starting to slip. It's almost like they started the season so good when 7 wins from 7 games, and now they've sort of taken the foot off the pedal coming into the finals. They'll probably still get the Premier's plate, but just need to sort of put their foot back on the gas, because Adelaide dominated them 2-0. Some a really good goal to Mallory Webber for the first. Just a screamer. She was the second one. Waldress got the first goal. Beautiful worked corner and a header on the back post. Commentators got the name completely wrong, as I do often on this show.
Correct.
Thinking it was Holmes scoring in her last game for Adelaide United, but it was actually Waldress. And then Mallory Webber cutting in onto the right foot, into the box, and just whipped it back post. Beautiful strike. Definitely a goal of the week contender. We'll get to that later. But just a good game. All-round dominant performance for Adelaide, and nervous signs, I'd say, for Ante Juric and the Sydney FC side.
You know, Sydney FC did really come out of the blocks really hard early in the competition. As you said, 7 from 7. But their two losses have come from the teams currently sitting in second and third as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this final series is definitely shaping up to be a cracking one. As you said, yeah, Premier's plate probably will go to Sydney. I don't think they'll slip too bad now. If they lose 3 on the trot now, I'm really disappointed in them.
Yeah.
And I think they'd be really disappointed in themselves as well. But, Premier's plate probably will end up at Sydney, but this final series, I cannot wait.
It's going to be so good. There's going to be so many good games. Moving on to the third game of the week, Canberra United at home at Viking Park beat high-flying Brisbane Roar, gave them their first defeat for the season, which is pretty incredible when you look at what Sydney FC have done at the start, and now Brisbane only just losing now. But just a dominant performance from Canberra. Goals to Flannery, Grace Maher with a great goal, probably a bit of a keeping error for it, but really good strike. Michelle Heyman, the milestone woman, her 70th goal in the W League, tying Samantha Kerr's record, and the relief on her face when she turned around after the ball went in the back of the net was very evident. She, you know, realised the moment of what she'd achieved, and the pressure was off. Now it's about going on and breaking that record, but it was a really good assist from Lauren Keir. Just a beautiful ball down the right-hand side that put Heyman in behind the defence, and just well-slotted goal for Michelle Heyman. And Garlick scored the fourth goal for Brisbane. Really good finish again. Like close to 50 yards out, just looked up, saw the keeper off her line and just pinged it perfectly. And Emily Gelnick actually got the goal for Canberra. So she's now, for Brisbane, sorry. She's now 9 goals in 7 games this season and leading the Golden Boot. And I'm just having a really good season for a really good Brisbane team, but wasn't their day. Canberra, dominating performance.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. And that Canberra team, yeah, could find their way into the top four as well. So they're showing good signs to maybe usurp that Melbourne Victory team. But this final series is really shaping up. Congratulations, Michelle Heyman, finally getting that equalising goal. And yeah, the relief on her face when it finally went in the net. You could see that all the weight on her shoulders has gone down. Yep. All the pressure she'd probably been putting on herself, finally gone. So really looking good. Really looking good this series.
Let's hope she can break that record this week in the next game. But really good game. Shocked that Brisbane have lost. It's the first game they've lost all season and we're this late in. But really entertaining game. I was actually really surprised it was 3-0 as early as it was to Canberra. Thought it was going to be a tough game, but the last game for the round saw Newcastle travel over to Perth. The Jets, it hasn't been a great year for them, and neither has it been a good year for Perth, but the Jets go over there and absolutely throttle Perth 4-0. Polisena with a great goal to start it. Franco got a double, and Allen rounded off the 4-0 demolition. In this game, I really felt bad for Oldfield, the goalkeeper for Perth. She's a really good goalkeeper. She's had some really good performances, but it just seems at times the defence has really let her down. And, you know, some of these goals, there's only so much she can do. She made some really good saves in this game alone, but just the defence has got to do more to help her out. She's conceded 6 goals in that game against Sydney and now 4 goals against the Jets. It's got to be hard for her this season, but, you know, they'll probably look to put this season behind them as they go into next year because their season's well and truly done, as it is for the Jets. But, you know, credit to them going over to Perth and grabbing a much-needed win. Confidence booster for them. Really good game. Actually, some really good games this week.
Some very good games.
Only 4, so I think out of the 4, I'd say 3 of them were real crackers. And even the Victory Wanderers game was pretty entertaining, but a little bit like a Victory game where there's a lot of action but not a lot of goals.
Yeah, no, very, very, very well said, Jamie Brown. But yeah, very entertaining weekend of W League action. Really good way to start off, as you said, Football New South Wales Women in Football Month, was it?
Month. Yeah, I think it is month, but I think for New South Wales alone it is week this week, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Women in Football Month, and really, yeah, as we've said, we support the W League, and it's been really turned out to be a good competition this year, and I think I've said this like 4 times just in this little spiel of ours, but this is going to be a cracking final series, and I mean that.
I think there's still 2 more games to go. I'm really excited for the finals coming up, because there's going to be a really good team that misses out. Either Victory or Canberra are probably going to be one of the team that misses out, which is going to be a huge shame because they're both really good sides, but it's going to be a cracking top 4. The 4 teams, the 5 teams that are in the hunt at the moment, all of them have a chance to win it. So
yep.
It's going to be really, like, I wouldn't be putting my money on any team just yet, but nah, really good season for the W League. I've watched pretty much every game, which has been awesome. I haven't done that for football, like generally in Australian football for a long time, but it's been really good to get around. Just a huge congratulations to Michelle Heyman for that milestone.
Yeah.
The relief, it's just, you got to watch it. If you haven't seen the goal, go check it out. Just the relief when she turns around to celebrate. You can just see it on her face, how relieved she is that she's finally gotten that milestone done. And now hopefully for her, she said it after the game, it's just about, you know, putting her head down, trying to bang in a few more goals and get into that final series. So credit to her. She's been a legend of the W League. It'd be great to have her on the show. But legend of the W League, and for Canberra, she's been a long-serving member of Canberra. So really good to see her get the success and get that milestone off her back.
Totally agree with you, Jamie, there. But shall we move on to the boring A-League now, the men's? Ugh.
It wasn't a boring round.
It was actually a very, very entertaining round.
There were some real cracking games, including a huge derby win. But first off, we'll start with the Adelaide versus the Jets, where the bump was confirmed. Adelaide 2, Newcastle Jets 1. Dorigo got his first goal for Adelaide and in the A-League in general, before Connor O'Toole with an absolute belter of a strike equalised for Newcastle. But that man, Connor Craig Goodwin.
You are dead set. You're a clown.
Coming up again, the man is in form. They have some really good players in that team, like Stephen Mawkes, also on form. Adelaide are looking like a real good team this year, and the way Craig Goodwin's playing, man, if he can keep this form up, they're going to have one hell of a season.
Oh, no, I very much agree with you there. But yeah, Connor, now you got me doing it. Craig Goodwin, I'm going to kill you one day. Craig Goodwin, really coming back into form. He's been really standout for Adelaide since he started back with them. And, yeah, no, it was a good win for Adelaide. Really disappointed we couldn't provide more of a bump for Newcastle. We tried our best. But, yeah, congratulations to both Dorigo and Connor O'Toole scoring your first A-League goals. Two very good goals as well. Two very good goals. Yeah. Dorigo's a fine finish into the top corner, and then Connor O'Toole, nice 1-2 with the right back after a corner to fire one into the top corner as well. So, really entertaining game. Jamie messaging me while I'm trying to have dinner. Just having this on, I'm like, I want to watch it, but this is not the time nor the place. Yep. But no, it was a really good way to start this A-League weekend.
I mean, we got to talk about the elephant in the room. Stephen Ugarkovic going to the Wanderers next year, provided both the assists for Adelaide's goals. Are you a little bit worried about his form sort of taking a dip the last couple of weeks?
No, because if you also watch the game, his volley, outside of the foot volley that almost went in, really showing signs that he can also provide goals for his own team.
I mean, it was good, but really it was a little bit of a fluke. I mean, he's just hitting
No. Mate, everyone hits and hopes. Like, every goal is a hit and hope.
I feel like that, much like Hatch's goal for the Mariners, was a bit of a beat up. I didn't think there was much in that volley, but it was just... But, you know, he cost them two goals, and you can't even deny it. He literally passed the ball to Dorigo, and his really poor defensive read and clearance straight into the path of the Adelaide United player that was just Craig. So, I mean, that's a negative two for him.
Man, this is this season. Under Carl, he'll be fine. And
you reckon?
And don't worry, Stephen. We've got plenty of other players in our own team that will also do what you did, so you're not going to feel left out.
Yeah, it'll be a fun assist party for the other team. The Boost can only do so much. Connor can only do so much. He scored his goal. Stephen Ugarkovic gave them two goals, but that's all good. I'm not disappointed at all.
You're not angry, you're just disappointed?
Yeah, just not angry, just really, really disappointed. Brisbane won, Sydney FC won. Dylan Wenzel-Halls with the easiest goal he's probably going to ever score. Not because he just had a tap-in, but, you know, Redmayne basically threw it between his legs into goals.
Redmayne's gone, you know what, this deserves a goal, I'm going to throw it in for you.
Yeah, so... Credit to him. He's had a really good season as well. Wenzel-Halls, correct. Superstar.
I was going to say Redmayne, maybe. But yeah. Wenzel-Halls has been a standout this season for that Brisbane Roar team. Banging in goals left, right, and through keepers like
that. I mean, another one of the under-23s at Grand Final. It's probably going to pick for that squad, but just we have so many good young players coming through right now. Bobo equalised for Sydney in the 79th minute, I believe, with just a well-worked header. Got to the back post. You can't leave a man who can head a ball that good basically unmarked at the back post. I feel bad for Jamie Young because he did everything in that game to get them the win, but... You know, one little blip for the defensive read, and it's a goal at the back post for Bobo, and he's back on the score sheet for Sydney FC.
Not once, but twice this week. But yes, look, these guys played out a very thrilling nil all draw a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Now they've had a very thrilling one all draw. Can we just have these two versus each other every week? It's just entertaining.
I'm looking forward to the finals when it goes down to penalties because it's going to be a 2-2 draw. We can all see where it's trending. So
yeah, absolutely.
But no, you're right. Like back-to-back draw games for these two teams, but really entertaining. Like you can't say it was a boring draw. Moving on to probably the biggest game of the week as it was built, the Melbourne Derby, the original Melbourne Derby, original Derby. There's so many terrible names going around.
The original Derby is Melbourne and Adelaide.
And it's this week, but which is horrible for Melbourne Victory coming into that. But Melbourne City 6, Melbourne Victory 0. It should have been 7. I bet those Melbourne Victory fans that were cheering when McLaren missed that penalty early on probably regret doing that because he scored an absolutely beautifully finished goal, put City on the board first. Don't know if you know much about it, but great touch. So yeah,
it was really good.
That was followed up by a goal to Berenger. Then Roston Griffiths with a great header off a corner from the back post was beautifully floated. Connor Metcalf got a quick double in 3 minutes, and then Kolakowski rounding off with his first A-League goal to absolutely sink the Melbourne Victory. And am I smiling when I say that?
Yes,
I am. I mean, I think we all are. All around the world, A-League fans. We're all smiling to see that. But
it's one of those things. Like, yeah, I'm smiling to see it because I don't like Melbourne Victory, but you got to feel bad for Brebner. You really do.
You do. Like, he's a legend to that club, and he's just, you know, delivered the worst result in a derby for Melbourne Victory. So.
It's Melbourne Victory's biggest ever loss.
Yeah, and it's in a derby. Not their biggest derby. I think they hate Sydney FC a bit more, but, you know, to lose to your crosstown rivals who have all the money, they have better kits, better players, and just to get thumped 6-0 by your rivals is... We sort of talked about it after the game. We were messaging back and forth about Graham Bredman's future. They've kept him on, so credit to Melbourne Victory.
Full
they're trying to stick with it.
From the board.
Yeah, which is never really good.
No.
Let's face it. He's going to be sacked next week.
Every time someone says, every time I've read an article where the board has full faith in the manager, their next loss, they're out.
Yeah, and it's a tough game for them this week against Adelaide United. But they've brought in former assistant. I think it was Kevin Muscat's assistant.
Kevin Muscat's assistant. And former Wanderers first team coach before he got the sack. We'll bring that up later.
Okay, yeah, but...
this is fixtures and results, Jamie.
Just dominant game for Melbourne City. Hell of a good performance. You just can't... You can't fathom that this performance happened, but tough loss for Melbourne Victory to take. Moving on to the next game, the game that we were supposed to go to, but we couldn't. Wellington 3 in that beautiful red kit. Perth 0. Rene Piscopo, man. That was just a confident run and a great finish for their first goal, and then Ball got the tap in for the second, and Wayne, back-to-back goals, getting another one to really sink Perth Glory, which was a real shock to me. I thought Perth were going to come away with this. They played their full-strength team. Castro was back in the team. That's how you know it was full strength. But Wellington, man, tracksuit to Ufuk-Tale it's a thing.
It is. Yeah, we think we have a bum here. The band just wears a tracksuit every week.
I mean, he said it last week that, you know, last time I wore a tracksuit, we won, so I'm going to have another crack at it. And they beat Newcastle, and yet again, another clean sheet to Sale. And
very, I wouldn't say lucky, but that goal line scramble to deny a Perth Glory goal is phenomenal stuff. It only happens in the A-League, doesn't it? You've had two this year already.
I mean, in FIFA, we know blokes that's smashing controllers. One of them's your brother, so
the other one's
if
me.
That happens, yeah. So that was, I mean, an entertaining game nonetheless.
Oh, correct.
Good to see the Wolf Den stick around from the NPL game to sing for Wellington Phoenix, which made a good atmosphere. But those kits, man, those best in the league this year.
I'm in love.
Yeah, I'm glad we get to see that one more time. So, and I can't wait for mine to come. It's going to be hanging up behind me as we do this show. So moving on, this was a shock for me. Western United in Ballarat again at home to Western Sydney Wanderers. Philip Curto went off with a concussion early on, but the Wanderers, through much, they come away with a win that I don't know how they came away with it.
I can tell you how. The Wanderers put the circle in the rectangle once,
yep.
And Western United didn't.
And wasn't Besar Berisha quite annoyed at the officials?
Look at it!
Not calling penalties against him. He wasn't happy when he got bought off. But good performance for the Wanderers. I mean, probably got dominated.
I'd say no, it was not a good performance.
Yeah, but to get 3 points going away no one expects, and to sort of, you know, they talked about it with Adelaide a few weeks ago, just to get that first win breeds winning. So hopefully Wanderers can, hopefully Wanderers can pick this up now and carry it on to start winning more games and make another push for the finals. So
I mean, I hope so. But yeah. I think the biggest talking point from this game is, well, one, Jordan Mutch's first goal in Australia. Lovely finish. Almost gifted the goal, but it was a very tidy finish still. But I think the lack of penalties given is a massive talking point in this one. As much as I like to disagree with Besar Berisha, he's absolutely right. I'd given that a penalty. And same with the Beanies in the first half. I think Berisha's more of a penalty, but I've seen both of them given, and it's really the lack of the... I don't know how the inconsistency with the VAR. Like, some of the penalties we've seen given this year, and then some of the penalties we haven't seen given is beyond shocking. Like
if
just
that
want,
Beanie
I just
ones...
want consistency. Yeah, I don't care if it's consistently bad, it's consistent.
Yeah, you're very true. But if that Beanie one's not a penalty, how the hell was Stefan Mork's the other week a penalty?
Don't ask me questions.
Like, consistency, yeah. We should just, if it's going to be this bad, we might as well just scrap it and go on the referee's decision, because, I mean, yeah, they're going to get it wrong, but at least they're only human and they don't get 4 or 5 slow motion looks at it.
Yeah, they get real time, one chance.
Yeah.
If they don't give it, all right, move on. But VAR has 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 looks at it and they still get it wrong.
So, I mean, it doesn't help when the offside rule is just as fucked as it is right now.
Same with the handball rule.
It's just, I mean, can't a linesman just put his flag up when it's offside? Like, seriously. But anyway, we'll move on. That can be for after the results. But the next game, Central Coast Mariners at home, the beautiful Central Coast Stadium to MacArthur. Honestly, going into this, I thought MacArthur was going to walk away with it easy.
I disagree, but can we step back 1 second? We say the Wellington Phoenix kits were unreal and beautiful. Those Central Coast pink kits, I thought were amazing, but someone had to tell MacArthur that they were wearing pink and blue, and a really dark blue by that, because this was impossible to watch if you were watching two people run behind each other.
Yeah.
Like, MacArthur should have worn their home kit, the white one, so we could stand out.
I don't understand why they didn't. Like,
I don't know. The message didn't come across. But in saying that, yes, the kit looked good, but boy, this was hard to watch.
Yeah, it wasn't an aesthetically pleasing game but not for the Mariners. That jersey was amazing. If MacArthur just worn their whites, it would have been a beautiful game to watch. But yeah, and shout out to the Mariners for the auction after the game. I think Alec Quall's jersey went for $2,950, so huge for charities for breast cancer. They do it every year. It's always a good jersey, but this was definitely one of the best that they've produced. And what a night, what a performance to do it on, to beat MacArthur, high-flying MacArthur, even though Mariners are high-flying, but to knock them off 2-0 with two really good goals. And
Matty Simon, the Wizard of Woi Woi, getting on the score sheet first, but this is the fairy tale story everyone loves hearing. Matt Hatch walks onto the field. Well, he ran on. He ran onto the field for his first ever A-League game, making his debut off the bench, and within a minute has his first ever A-League goal with his first ever touch in the A-League. Big ups to Alu Kuol, the composure of the young man, to see that there was a player in a better position. But on his weak foot too, Matty Hatch slots one behind Adam Federici for his first ever goal, and the celebration, I think there was an absolute pile in the corner. I think Matt Simon was the second person in it. He had to run the entire way from the bench to get in it, and then Mark Birighetti jumping on the pile at the end. Do love a good goalkeeper celebration, but congratulations to Matty Hatch. Hopefully the first of many, but to come away with the 3 points as well is massive to keep the Central Coast Mariners top of the table. And look, this Stajic team is looking amazing.
He is probably the best tactical coach in the league. You look at the resources he has, we say it every week, but he just gets these performances out of these players that are just, he just tactically sets the team up to dominate a team. And you're right, I mean, credit goes to Nick Montgomery, like friend of the show, who just has continued to produce these amazing players that are now starring for the Mariners. You know, you got Alu Kuol, Josh Nisbet, and then now Hatch comes on and scores a goal with his first touch. They have such a good youth system. It's so good to see. And, you know, they have to because they don't have the resources that clubs like Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide do. And look at them. They're flying high. Four out of the last five wooden spoons, and they're sitting top of the table, which is just an amazing effort. All credit's got to go to Alan Stajic for putting that team together and setting up the way they do. But, yeah, credit to Matty Hatch. That's got to be an amazing feeling to come on and score your first touch, slot it past a really good keeper in Federici. But, you know, Alu Kuol, credit to him for laying it off instead of taking the shot on himself, a man who's in really good form. Jury's still out on how good Hatch is going to be in the future. You know, a lot of people are going crazy for it, but, you know, it's a great way to start your career.
We go wild now, and even Matty Hatch said in his post-game interview, he couldn't believe Kuol actually laid it off. Broke normally shoots on sight, and he just laid it off in front of him to slot in, so... Big win from the Mariners as well, as you said. MacArthur FC really flying high in their first season, but yeah, Mariners just looking the bits.
Yeah, I mean, I just keep expecting them to drop off, but it just doesn't happen.
That's because you're a grub.
Stajic just won't allow it. But now that was a really good game, and what a great night! A huge crowd, all for women's for breast cancer charities. The pink jersey, just unbelievable. Moving on to the last game of the round, Sydney FC 2, Western United 0. Two losses in 1 week for Western United. Ryan Grant played his 200th game for Sydney FC and 200th in the A League. I mean, he doesn't have the mullet anymore, but he's still a fixture in the A League and for Sydney FC, and got a goal to mark the occasion, which was a really well taken finish. And Bobo also scored a penalty, which was a penalty, definitely worth.
Yep,
definitely
no, a penalty, I'm not disagreeing, but at least it was given.
Yeah. They got that one right, but, you know, best up Brisher for Western United. Doesn't like Sydney FC. He's got a long history with him. Sydney FC would have enjoyed getting that one over him and stopping him from scoring, but pretty good game all in all. Sanchez out for Western United, and Curto obviously out in goals, but still a really good Western United team going down 2-0 to a really good Sydney team. Shout out to, can't remember his first name, but Scott, the step-in goalkeeper for Western United, almost saved that penalty. Was very close to saving that penalty, which is a big thing to do on your starting debut, but, you know, Sydney FC getting a win, Western United, bit of a blip on the radar this week after the highs they had a couple of weeks back, but yeah, really good game.
Yep, and last minute, Andrew Durante getting his second red card for the A-League, and what are your thoughts on it? My thoughts were it's a red card.
I thought it was a red card. Yeah. I mean, I like Andrew Durante, but...
The commentator said, oh, he's just tried to push him and hit him in the face. I'm like, I don't care what he was trying to do. He hit a bloke in the face.
It's called lashing out, so...
And you wouldn't believe it. That's a red card.
Yeah, so it is hard because he is a legend of the game. He's a really nice guy. I mean, it's his second in over 400 games in the A-League, so... And he's a central defender, so that's saying something about the way he plays, but it was a red card. You know, they're going to miss him for the next game, but I'd be more looking at Aaron Carver's stupidity in the box to just kick through the back of Barbarousis rather than that little bit of emotion. So
yeah, that's right.
But that's it for the games this week. Huge games, huge round. Another round with just a shit ton of goals, which is always good to see.
You love goals, Jamie. You love goals.
Oh, yeah. I'm just rooting for the goals.
You root for... Yeah, you don't care who wins, you just want goals scored, which makes you a terrible human. But we move on. We move on to our ladder update.
Gorilla Ladders.
And we'll start with the W League, because it is International Women's Week. I'm calling it a week. You guys deserve a week. Absolutely.
Probably deserve a month.
Probably deserve 12 months.
Should they put up with men? Yeah.
Every day would be a good one. If we move on, we're just going to dig ourselves our own graves. That's what we're good at. We'll start with the W League. Sydney FC on top of the ladder, 24 points from 10 games, 8 wins, 2 losses. Followed up by Brisbane Roar, who are looking mighty fine in form. Adelaide United sitting in third. Melbourne Victory moving up into playoffs in fourth. But very close behind, 2 points behind, is Canberra United. 2 games to go. Could we see Canberra sneak into the spots? I hope so. Western Sydney Wanderers in sixth. Newcastle Jets, Melbourne City and Perth Glory rooted to the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, tough season for Perth Glory. I mean, understandable with the way the season started with all these lockdowns and stuff. Doesn't help when you've got a terrible premier. But, you know, they'll bounce back next year. This has been a tough year for them. They're usually a team that brings a lot of international players over, and it's been really hard to do that because of all the COVID restrictions. So we'll look forward to them being a little bit better last year. Shout out Hannah Lowry. She's been one of the bright sparks for that Perth Glory team. Every time she's on the ball, she looks good. Her passing is phenomenal. She should have had 2 assists in that game against Newcastle, but Chloe Cuejo was just unbelievable in goals. So, yeah, thought I'd give her the shout-out. And now we move on to the A-League ladder.
Yeah, you're all right. It has been a tough year for our Perth people in general, but the Glory women's really disappointing for them. And, they'll surely bounce back. But we move on to the A-League ladder, where we'll start off with what we've mentioned before. High-flying Central Coast Mariners staying at top of the ladder on 24 points. New Boys Macarthur FC sitting in second on 17, followed up by Western Sydney Wanderers in third spot, which is really bizarre for me. We're not used to that.
Yeah.
And considering the way we've been playing, I'm looking at it and going, how are we there?
That's pretty high.
It is. But we're also tied with Adelaide United, who have a game in hand. So I think with the teams under us with games in hand, if they win all those, they will probably jump us and move us down the ladder. But at the moment, we're in third, so suck on that.
Do you want to jinx them?
Yep, absolutely. That's what I'm here for.
Adelaide United have a pretty easy game this week against Melbourne Victory.
Correct. So. But it doesn't matter. At the moment, we're in third.
Yeah. Enjoy it for now.
I enjoy everything we do, except play football. I hate that. Adelaide United in fourth, Melbourne City in fifth, Brisbane Roar in sixth, Sydney FC not in the playoffs at the moment, but they're also 2 points, 1 point behind us with a game in hand.
It wasn't long ago when we were talking about that 5 of the 6 playoff spots were held by New South Wales teams.
Not anymore. But so look at this. Sydney FC in seventh have a game in hand and are 1 point behind the Wanderers in third. So this top half of the table is close.
Yep. Which is really good to see.
Yes, really good for the league, and it makes it more competitive, and I love that. I don't care if we don't make it or not.
Every game's important.
Yeah, every game is important. That's what it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'd move on. Perth Glory sitting in eighth spot with 3 games in hand. They've only played the 8 because of the restrictions that they've had to face. So yeah, they could jump very high up the ladder. Perth Glory in eighth. Western United now down in ninth. Wellington Phoenix moving up the ladder into 10th.
Good stuff.
Very good for them. Newcastle Jets off back-to-back losses are down in 11th. But rooted to the bottom of the table, with a big smile on my face, I say Melbourne Victory.
And we'll be saying that next week as well, because regardless of what happens, they will not jump into second last at best. So
they do have a game in hand above Newcastle. So if they do win both games miraculously, they will jump. So calm yourself. I don't see them winning games both games, but could happen. We don't know.
I definitely think Adelaide will beat them. Definitely.
I hope they
do. If not for the Wanderers' sake, for Adelaide's sake.
You are a clown. You are a dead set clown.
So that's pretty good. It's good to see that every game is important right now. Even for like the likes of Victory, they need to win because they don't want to get a wooden spoon. Wellington wants to keep winning. Newcastle needs to keep winning. But that top of the table, being so close together, every game that they play each other is important. They're 6-point games. I mean, you look at the Mariners versus the Macarthur game the other night. If Macarthur wins that game, they're a hell of a lot closer to the Mariners than they are now, because they lose. It's now, what, a 7-point gap, I think it was?
It is indeed a 7-point gap.
Yeah, so, you know, you take those 3 points away, it's 4 points, they're within striking distance, but at the moment, Macarthur with the same amount of games as the Mariners, it's, you know, it's everyone behind them. It's the Wanderers' chances, it's Adelaide's chances to, like, push it back, but, man, it's good to see parity, basically parity in the Adelaide. We haven't seen it for a while, it's been Sydney FC running away, so it's good to see a lot of other teams with their hat in the ring.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good to see for the league, really good for our growth in the league, but yeah, just making it really competitive. I think that's one thing we kind of lacked here. And even though we do have the salary cap as well, which is something I don't really enjoy, it's meant to make every team more or less equal and the competition more evenly spread with the amount of players in each team, but it's always just been the two biggest clubs with the most money that can draw in those marquees that have run away with it. And no real marquees this year because of COVID. And it's turning into a really good season.
Yeah, it's just good to see teams like the Mariners in with a chance at playing finals football. And I'll say it right now, I think they'll be playing finals football.
I know they'll be playing finals football.
Yeah, it would take a huge drop off for them to, you know, fall out of the playoffs.
I will eat a hat if they don't make finals.
Ooh, we're going with that bet again.
We're going with
I have a hat you can eat because someone else isn't going to be eating it, so throwback to another time.
Throwback to better times. But yes, I'm throwing it out there. I will eat a hat if Central Coast Mariners do not make it out and make the playoffs. Done.
You will eat a Western Sydney Wanderers hat, as you are a Western Sydney Wanderers member and fan.
I'll agree to this.
Done.
I will agree to this.
So, should we move on to Goal of the Week, or is there anything else you wanted to discuss from this
week's sections? We'll end with Goal of the Week. The one thing we brought up earlier, with regards to Melbourne victory, some news in the heart of Melbourne with fans storming training. That was fun. That was really fun time. Didn't know they still had fans.
There weren't many there at the end of the game the other night, so it's hard to tell. But
massive shout out to the one bloke that was there photographed.
Yes,
you could see the disappointment in his face, but at least he hung around.
He's a fan. You stay till the end. Doesn't matter if you're down 6-0, which should be 7. You stay till the end. So credit to that man, whoever you are. Hope you listen. Chances are you don't, because we're very anti-victory on this show. But the fans' message was pretty simple. The line has been crossed.
6 times, in fact.
Yeah, 6 times. Could have been 7. But victory fans not happy, not so much with just the squad, but general decisions being made by the hierarchy there. Sort of sent a message. There were reports going out that half the squad didn't come out to train that day when the fans were there. Pretty good intimidation tactic. I feel like the message could have been you just got beat 6-0. You've had a horrible season. You've got rivals Adelaide this week, Sydney FC the next week, and the message is simple, that like, the line has been crossed. Wouldn't you want to be a little bit more intimidating than just saying the line has been crossed? Like maybe enough is enough, or this is, I don't know, but...
Go with the old Arsenal tactic, Brebner out.
Yeah, but to see the fans love Brebner for what he did as a player. This has got to be so hard to be a Melbourne victory
fan. Yeah, I know. He was so good as a player, but as a manager, he's just not performing. But that's on a kind of a sign that that's why they've brought in this man. Melbourne Victory have brought in Jean-Paul Demagny to be the first team coach, former Wanderers manager, former Melbourne Victory coach under Kevin Muscat. Hasn't been at the club since Kevin Muscat left. This is a turning point, I think. Brebner is good as the head coach, but having this man coming as just working on the first team, I think, is a really good shout. As much as it pains me to say it, because he's former Wanderers man, but look, it's something that needed to be done. Melbourne Victory are not looking anything like they used to at the moment, and something needs to change now.
Yeah, you're looking at, you know, one of the top two biggest clubs in Australia, up there with Sydney FC, and to be where they are, and what the season they had last year was terrible as well. You hope it works, and the move comes good for Victory, because it is always good to see Victory doing well, because, you know, the games between Sydney and Victory, Wanderers and Victory, City and Victory, Adelaide and Victory are always good when both teams are playing really well, and we haven't had that from Victory for a season now, so you hope it works out. But I feel like for this season, the damage is done. I think the squad's just not up to doing the job. I mean, they lost Lawrence Thomas in the offseason. Huge player for them. Great goalkeeper. One of the best in the league. He's now gone. He's not there anymore. They brought Robbie Cruz back, who really hasn't had it since he left to go overseas. Really, all he's got now is a little bit of a dive and an occasional good shot. Rudy Gestede probably hasn't done exactly what they wanted him to do or been consistent. He has games where he pops up and gets 2 and looks dominant, but then he's quiet for an entire game like he was the other night. I just think that the squad just isn't there to cut it with the A-League this season. They've got older players like Broxham, probably still has it in the A-League, as much as I don't like him. He is still a pretty good player for Victory, and he's been one of the better players for them this season, but too many good players have left and they haven't replaced them with equally or, you know, as close to as good players. And it's really starting to hurt them, and it's sad to see.
Don't say that with a smile on your face, you clown.
I mean, it is sad to see, because you want to see Victory doing good. When Etihad's packed out, when Amy Park's packed out, it's really good. They have a great active support, but, you know, the decisions for this season have been made and they're going to have to deal with it. And, I mean, they've got Adelaide, then Sydney FC back-to-back games coming up, and it could get a hell of a lot worse for the fans of Melbourne Victory, because if that's 3 derby losses in a row, I'd hate to see what messages they put up when they show up to training on the Monday morning after those games, especially their big blue.
I agree wholeheartedly on that statement. As we've said, not looking good for Melbourne Victory. The line has been crossed. Yes, it has. Moving on lines, we move forward. It's going to have to. Don't put your hands up for 6, you clown. Joke was being made before. Look, I hope Melbourne Victory can turn some of this around and maybe fight at the end to stir up the top of the table. That's always good.
Show something.
Yeah, but we'll move on. We'll move on with the last thing we have to talk about this week, and that's Goal of the Week.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness!
Oh, my goodness. There were some goals this week.
There was a lot of good goals this week. Should we give the honourable mentions to the ones that didn't quite get the
honourable mentions. First off, the big honourable mention that we've mentioned a few times, and I like saying mention in that. I've said it like 4 times now. But Connor O'Toole, first A-League goal.
Yep.
Just had to say it. What a man.
And great strike, near post. You know, you could clearly tell he'd beaten the keeper because he couldn't keep it out. But great strike. Great to see the friend of the show, Connor O'Toole, getting on and being a contender this week. My pick of the week was probably Mallory Webber for Adelaide, their second goal.
Mm-hmm.
Takes it down the left, cuts in onto her right and brings it in the box and just belts it to the back post. Nothing they could do around all the defenders. Great finish for her. Adelaide's had a few contenders the last couple of weeks, so that's good to see.
Another one was, I think, the W League actual goal of the week, Michelle Heyman. Milestone-wise, yes, I'd say it's probably the biggest goal of the week, but I wouldn't say it's the best goal of the week. Congratulations again, but there were some better goals this week.
I mean, it wasn't even the best goal in that game because that went to Bianca Garlick with her 40 to 50-yard strike over the keeper. Nugget criticising the keeper for being out of position off the line.
I didn't criticise the goalkeeper.
That union's fractured.
No, hang on, don't throw me under the bus here. I said, same with Connor O'Toole's of why I couldn't pick it as goal of the week. I mean, both good strikes, yes, but it was more or less made a goal because of poor goalkeeping.
Morgan Aquino had a shocker in that game. She also let Grace Maher's great strike go in. That would have been a really good goal had it gone away from the keeper. The fact that it went down the middle and she had a really good play to get it away, mm-hmm. and it still went in, that sort of took her out of the contention for goal of the week. But
we all have those moments. We all have those moments as goalkeepers.
Yeah, I guess. I'll let you announce goal of the week this week. I've done the last two, I think. So
I think you've done all of them.
I don't think there's any argument to this one. This was just phenomenal.
There was no argument between us because we both picked it. Yep. And that would go to Rene Piscopo. What a strike. That just, confident run right down the middle and a laser beam into the bottom corner to open the goal scoring in that game. Outstanding. Like, about 24 yards, I'd say, at least out, and just rocketed into the bottom corner. It's a fantastic strike and I think worthy of this week's goal of the week.
And the confidence of him when he talked about it after the game, he said, as soon as I picked it up and ran with it, as soon as I hit it, I knew it was going in. So, and you're not wrong. When you look at it back on replay, there's nothing the goalkeeper could have done. Feel bad for Vilapi, but hell of a good goal. Congrats, Rene Piscopo. It's why you're number 7 on the back of my red Wellington Phoenix jersey. Yeah, great goal of the week.
Well worth it. But don't take anything away from the other goals scored this week. Every goal is a good goal of the week if you're the goal scorer. But this one, just Rene Piscopo, just a little bit better.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I think that's it for us this week.
It is.
I don't know if it's a shorter show. Short compared to last week, but it was a good show. All I got to say to the fans, get out there, support your local NPL team. NPL season's kicked off. We'll talk a bit more about it in the future. We'll be getting out to as many games as we can. I should be going to 2 this week, possibly even 3 on a Sunday. But get out, support your local NPL team. For Nugget, it's MacArthur. For me, it's Southo. And I'm going to Fraser Park because I like their jerseys.
That's fair. Well, I'd like to say, if any of those new fans that picked us up from the Connor O'Toole interview and you've stuck around for this show, thanks for sticking around. Just promote us. Rate, review, subscribe. We're here every week. Get used to it. And tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your brothers, sisters, grandmothers, uncles, aunties, gardener. Just tell anyone.
Yeah. Pass the pod. Make us big.
Jamie doesn't need any bigger of a head, but it's always good for us. And appreciate you guys sticking around if you've come back. And we'll see you all next week, I think.
Yeah. See you guys next week. And enjoy this week's action. Some big games. So bye.
I'll bump you on the head. Thanks for tuning in for this week's episode of The Circle in Rectangle Show. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. If you want to hit us up on our socials, they are The Circle in Rectangle Show on both Facebook and Instagram. Drop us an email, cinrshow@gmail.com, or hit us up on our Twitter @cinrshow. See you all next week.